Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be gathered again this afternoon. That was supposed to be a children's lesson, but I think it was an adult lesson too. You know, it's pretty easy even for grown-ups to get caught up in the desire for more things. And yeah, I was challenged by the lesson that he shared. True happiness is when you have Jesus in your heart. And you know, it's amazing that when you can learn to give from your heart, how good that makes you feel. I was blessed by the song that we sang this afternoon. The second verse of "When Peace Like a River," in relation to this message: though Satan should buffet, and though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And I was really struck by that. When we consider what Jesus suffered for us, it makes it easier to work with those who cause us to suffer. Following Jesus' example in relating to those who trespass against us. How many of you can remember a time when someone did something mean to you? Maybe gave you a shove or slapped you across the face or something. Anybody remember that? Probably most of us can say that. The Bible says it must needs be. In other words, it's bound to happen that offenses will come. It's going to happen in life. People will offend us. It's not the end of the world. Okay, so you think of that time when someone did something unkind to you. What was your response? Someone gives you a shove, what do? You shove harder, right? Someone slaps you across the face and you punch back harder, right? Isn't that our natural tendency? Our carnal nature would make us want to do something right back, and maybe even a little harder than what was given to us. But Jesus gives us a different example. Before we go to the example of Jesus, we're going to start out with some teachings and a few illustrations. You can turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at some teachings that Jesus gives us and a few examples in real life. And then we'll look at Jesus' ultimate example of relating to those who trespass against us. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to jump in at verse 38. And we'll read to the end of the chapter here. It's Sunday afternoon, and we've all been well fed, and if you're like me, sleepiness tends to take a hold, and I was instructed by a few of the children that I should not make it a long message, so we'll try to keep it a little short. Short and to the point. Let's really search our hearts as we read these verses that Jesus gives us and really consider what it's saying to us. Verse 38, Matthew chapter 5. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that was the old law in Leviticus 24:20, spelled out very clearly that if someone hurts someone else, they shall get the same thing right back. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If someone gouges another person's eye out, they will need to have their eye gouged out. That was the Old Testament law. But I say unto you, this is a better way. This is under the New Testament, the new dispensation. Jesus says that ye resist not evil. Really? Someone does something mean to you and you're not supposed to resist it. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Someone tried to take advantage of you and wants to take away your car. Give him your pickup also. Think about that. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go with him 2 miles. Go the extra mile. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. And then this verse is the one that really I want to focus on. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And then verse 44. But I say unto you, again, but I say, this is the better way. Love your enemies. Think of that person or persons who have offended you. Love them. And do good, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that goes against carnal nature. That is not easy to do. It says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And it calls us to be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Brothers and sisters, this is a very tall order. But it can be accomplished. To love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. This morning, we drove past the site where, I'm not sure what year it was, but under the shade of a maple tree, there was a roadside stand owned by, I believe, a deacon in the Old Order Mennonite Church. His name was Henry Martin. It's now known as Shady Maple. It started out with a roadside stand. And Henry had watermelons out there. And I'm going to tell this story the best I can from my memory as it was told to me. I was not living when this happened. But Henry had trouble with thieves there that would come and steal watermelons at night. So what does he do? Well, he waited up one night. And he witnessed these young boys coming and taking these watermelons. And I believe they loaded them up in the trunk of their car and took off. And he went and followed them. And he followed them around the block, and they came to this vacant parking lot. I don't think it was very far away, the way I understand. And they were there, they had the trunk open, and they were sitting there eating these watermelons that they had taken from his stand. So Henry approached them while they were there eating their watermelons, and he greeted them. I don't think they knew who he was at the time. He offered them some more watermelons. He said, I have a roadside stand around the block here, and we have some extra watermelons, and he offered them some more to go with their little feast that they were having. The thieves, I believe, were speechless. You know, I don't know the details of the outcome of that. But I know one thing. Henry was in a much better position to point them to God than if he would have called the police or tried to arrest them. Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. There's many stories that we could look at in the Martyr's Mirror or various Christians who have been persecuted and have turned and helped the enemies who were pursuing them. How is that possible? We'll look into that more as we go. The next point, looking at Mark chapter 11. Again, this is Jesus' teachings, not his example necessarily. In Mark 11, two verses, verses 25 and 26. Mark 11, verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Forgive, that your Father may forgive you. If we want God's forgiveness in our life, we must forgive others who trespass against us. I want to be very careful the details that we share on this story, but some of you may remember October 2nd, 2006, as the fateful day of the nickel mine school massacre in a little one-room Amish schoolhouse. Money, a few of the things that happened through that event in this little Amish community. There was money from funds that poured in from all around the world to the victims' families in this fateful event. And this money was diverted to the man's family who caused this whole thing, to help them through this, even though many of the victims faced their own huge medical bills. Forgive, that your Father may forgive you. One of the victims' mothers said this about forgiveness. She said, it's not a once and done thing. Forgiveness is a lifelong process. But brothers and sisters, if we remember what our Father has forgiven us, we can find a way to forgive those who trespass against us. If we remember what God has forgiven us, then we can remember. We can forgive from our heart those who trespass against us. You know, forgiveness is not just burying the pain that might have been inflicted against us. It's not just brushing it away and ignoring it. But rather, it's facing it and in turn releasing the person who caused the pain by forgiving them and letting it go and letting it in God's hands. Again, it goes against our carnal nature and it's not easy to do, but if we remember what God has forgiven us, we can forgive those who have caused us pain and hurt in our lives. Another teaching we can look at is in Luke chapter 6. And in verses 36 to 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Jesus is telling us, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." And then he says this, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." The focus I want to point out here in this is what Jesus says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." Some years ago, I forget, it wasn't real long, maybe 2-3 years ago, our family was traveling on the interstate, and I don't remember the details on what kind of vehicle it was, but we were driving along, and this car flew past us and cut over in front of us and then weaved out of the next person. Then after a bit, they were in the exit lane and then weaved back out on the highway and just driving like a maniac. And I think if I remember it, it was to the point where we had to stand on the brakes for a moment, or we would have hit them. That's how close they cut over in front of us. And it didn't go very long. After a bit, up ahead on the shoulder, we saw flashing lights. And this car was pulled over by a police officer. So what's the thought that goes through your mind? Good for him. He got what he deserved, right? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. I'm not saying those thoughts are completely out of order. Sometimes we feel that way, and we don't act on it. But be careful with that. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. How do we relate to the neighbor whose cows keep getting out and running through our garden, and then after a while one gets hit on the road? Well, that's what he gets for not fixing his fence. Or do we go and help him fix his fence? Judge not, and ye shall not be judged, is what Jesus teaches us. Another thing we can look at, another teaching, is found in John chapter 8, familiar passage. And we're not going to spend much time in here. I want to go into the example that Jesus gave us. But John chapter 8, starting at verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And here come the scribes and Pharisees, and they bring this woman that was taken in adultery. And they had taken her and set her in the middle of everybody. They said to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? And they were testing him. They were tempting him so they might have a reason to accuse him. If Jesus would have said that she should be stoned, then that would have been against, if I understand correctly, against the Roman law. But if he would have said that she shall not be stoned, then that would have been against the law of Moses. And so they thought they had him pretty much trapped in a corner, because the Jews were not allowed to take care of their own executions under Roman law. So what does Jesus do? I don't know what he was writing, but he stoops down and he starts writing on the ground as though he didn't even hear them. But they persistently asked him, and he finally lifted up himself and he said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he starts, stoop down and starts writing on the ground. And when they heard it, one by one they were convicted of their own conscience, and they went away, beginning at the oldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when he had lifted up himself, he saw that no one but the woman. He said to her, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Jesus didn't excuse her sin, but he didn't condemn her. He told her to go and sin no more. Before we condemn others, consider our own sinfulness, is the point that I'd like to bring out in this. Before we're ready to condemn others, consider our own sinfulness. Granted, we need to address sin in the church. We can't condone sin. But be careful how we are ready to accuse and point fingers at other people. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember that. Let's go into the example. We'll look at Luke and some from John. We'll kind of flip-flop back and forth. Luke 22, verse 51. On Jesus, this is Jesus' example of what we just looked at in his teachings. To love your enemies, to judge not that you be not judged, and to forgive others and not condemn others. In Luke 22, verse 51, and Jesus answered, okay, I'll start at verse 49. This is when Jesus was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his disciples were around there. And when they that were about him saw what would follow, that he was going to be arrested, they said to him, "Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" And one of them, I believe in one of the Gospels says it was Peter, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. One of the men who was coming to arrest Jesus, and Jesus reached out and touched his ear and healed him. Another example was found in John chapter 18, verse 12. You don't have to turn to each one of these. We'll be going back and forth. It says that the band and the captains and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Be similar to putting handcuffs on him. And led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest, the same year. They took him and bound him and led him away. And it doesn't say one word that Jesus ever resisted them. in Luke 22, verses 60 and 61. Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. At this point, Peter had denied Jesus three times. It says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here was one of Jesus' closest disciples. And here Jesus, if anything, needed moral support the most. And Peter denied even knowing him. He didn't get angry with Peter. He just simply looked upon him. I don't know what that look was. It was probably not a happy look. It was probably sadness. But I don't believe Jesus ever got angry with Peter. In fact, he had foretold Peter that he was going to do that. Jesus knew that was going to happen. But he never got angry with him. In verses 63 to 64, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? They mocked him, they blindfolded him, and then said, prophesy, who is it that hit you? They brought all kinds of untrue accusations against him. And it does not say anything about him trying to defend himself. Never once did Jesus try to defend himself. He simply took it patiently. In John 19, verses 1 to 3, "Then Peter therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns." Therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Did you ever get pricked by a briar on your finger? And that gets pretty sore and painful pretty quickly. Can you imagine a crown of thorns platted on your head? And Jesus never struck back. Never hit back. Again, he patiently endured the pain and the shame. Jumping again ahead a little bit to back to Luke 23. This is the greatest example that we have on relating to those who trespass against us. Luke 23, verses 33 to 34. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. The most shameful form of execution. Hung on a cross, set up there so as a spectacle for everyone to see." "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Brothers and sisters, we have here the greatest example of forgiveness. And if we consider all the pain and the suffering that Jesus endured for our sin and the forgiveness that he has extended to us, can we from our hearts forgive those who trespass against us? I believe we can. There's many more illustrations that we could look at, many more examples that we could think of. And maybe some of the hurts that you have in your life, maybe some of the trespasses that have been committed against you are recent, they're still fresh in your heart and your mind. Don't just ignore the pain, but face it and release the person and forgive them. Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Jesus said, as many times as it takes. He didn't mean just 490 times by saying 70 times 7. He just meant just keep on forgiving. As many times as it takes. And maybe there's hurts from the past that have never been taken care of in your life. Remember what Jesus has forgiven you and forgive those who have trespassed against you. Let's kneel for prayer.